All right. I wanted to just take you guys through our thought process as Alaska has been considering seeking voluntary accreditation. And I say considering because, you know, new administration, never know what the next decision is going to be. So just to run you through a little bit, how we fit in, where are we at now, how far do we still have to go, what do we have to do to get there, and what help is available. Thankfully, there is help available. In every presentation I do, I like to throw in a few slides about Alaska, just to give you a context. Every state says we're different, we're unique, and yes, every state is different and unique, but really we are, you know? I swear it. Alaska has some unique challenges, some great advantages. We kind of like being really, really far away from DC. But, you know, our challenges are vast. This is an actual representation of what Alaska would look like up against the lower 48 states. And you can see there our highway system. And this is one of our big challenges. In Alaska, we have 4,900 miles of paved roads. So if you can imagine the lower 48 stretching from coast to coast with no roads west of the Mississippi, this is what we have to deal with. Texas, we are more than twice the size of Texas. Texas has, I think I had almost 300,000 miles of paved roads. We actually have less roads than Rhode Island. So we have some issues. This is the hospital. This is in Gamble. This is the health clinic that is out in one of our remote villages. Now, of course, Anchorage, you guys all know about Anchorage. Anchorage is a city, much like any other city in the lower 48. But outside of Anchorage, in our rural communities, there really are, again, some issues. This is the health clinic in Gamble. You get there by snow machine or four-wheeler in the summertime. And it's about 700 miles from the nearest hospital by air. You can't get there on the ground. So if the weather is good, and if you can get to the hospital, it could take you an hour or so to get there, and hopefully you don't die in between. This is the mall. It's a great little store. Beaver's a wonderful little town up in interior Alaska. And in most of our rural communities, I mean, this is the shopping. This is it. This is where you get your fresh produce and your shoes. So here's the highway system. This is Tionic. Tionic's a cute little native village in south central Alaska. And these boardwalks that you see, they're floating boardwalks on top of the tundra. And you can imagine the public health implications of this, because if you can't put a road on the ground, you can't put sewer lines down either. So people drive their four-wheelers along the boardwalks to empty their honey buckets. And it's not exactly a very healthy, sanitary kind of place. So that's a little bit of Alaska for you. This is our organization. This is Public Health in Alaska. We are under an umbrella organization. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services contains all those other social service organizations, Children's Services, Behavioral Health, Juvenile Justice, Pioneer Homes, Seniors and Disability, who am I missing? Public Assistance, oh, Medicaid. Medicaid that pretty much runs our life. So Public Health is kind of off here on the side. This one tiny little part of the vast organization. Our public health system, we are centralized, mostly. We do have one local government health department in Anchorage, but they have very, very limited services. They have some nurses. They have no lab, no medical examiner, no epidemiologist. They have a single part-time doctor on staff, and that's for, you know, a population of about 320,000. So the state provides most of their infrastructure, public health support. We have three local grantee organizations that do mostly just public health nursing, and those are native health organizations up in the rural parts of the state. And aside from the public health nursing, of which we fully fund, you know, they provide their services with our funding. We provide every other service for them. The state does for the locals. So to provide public health services for the entire state, we have 537 state employees and 22 state public health centers, which are public health nursing centers around the state. But we also have the 38 Native Health Corporations, and they provide most of primary care around the state that you see. Within our Division of Public Health, underneath the umbrella, we do provide all of the typical state public health services, and then some. And this is how we manage to do it. This is our public health nursing map. We have public health nurses based in each of those 22 public health centers, and they itinerate out to the small local communities. They usually get out to each community. They try to get out at least twice a year. So those communities really aren't getting a whole lot of attention. And that's how they get there. Things really haven't changed much in about 50 years. Used to be we sent our public health nurses out on the dog sled. Now we send them out on a snow sled. So as we were thinking about accreditation, you know, we were really struggling with, you know, how can we do this? Do we want to do this? Alaska is so different. How can we possibly fit in? You know, what the heck were they thinking when they came up with standards that everybody in the country would have to, you know, apply? And we said, well, you know, really, this would be to our benefit. It's a standardization. Whether, you know, we really fit the national standards is one question. But if we can at least standardize within the state what we do, then that could certainly only benefit us. There's a certain level of efficiency in accreditation. You know, if we have that direction, that plan, that assessment, you know, if we have it all together, we have limited resources. You guys all have limited resources. I mean, who is flush with money these days? So if we can use our money in a more directed approach, then certainly that can only help. And of course, even though nobody wants to say it, you know, we're all sure that there will be funding tied to accreditation in the future. You know, everybody swears that nobody is going to mandate this voluntary accreditation in the future, but certainly you can imagine that there will be points to be given to those who are accredited, extra bonus. So we said, all right, well, what do we have? We have Healthy Alaskans 2010, which, you know, was probably about as beneficial as 2010 was for you guys. But gosh, this was 10 years ago. Do we have 2020? Nope. Do we have the money to do 2020? No. But this was our last state health improvement plan that we have. We do have some community assessments. So I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But here's something that we do have. We do have a strategic plan. These are our primary goals. We've got, you know, strategies, activities, measures, all that whatnot along with it. But gosh, we met one of the three criteria, you know, strategic plan, health improvement plan, and a health assessment. We at least have the strategic plan. Of course, we can write strategic plans in our sleep, but it checks a box, we have one. So we started looking at the standards, saying, all right, we've got the strategic plan, we don't have these other two quite yet, but really, how do we fit in? So we started going through and saying, well, you know, not quite sure if we can fit into the standards that there are, because there are all these standards out there. The Alaska Division of Public Health, of course, the services that we have fits within the standards, but there's a lot of standards that don't fit us because we're within this umbrella agency. So a lot of the standards fit within the rest of our agency, of the umbrella, but not within our control, not within the Alaska Public Health. There's also environmental health that is not in any way associated with Alaska Division of Public Health. There are standards for environmental health that we have no control over. And then there's tribal health. They do a lot of things that are involved with the standards that we have no control over. So can we effectively meet the standards ourselves when we truly have no control over so many of the things that there are? The department does things like the HIPAA, the information technology, the public information, the finances, you know, all of those Part A items in the standards. Environmental health, of course, you know, they're peppered throughout the standards. Tribal health, a lot of the domains 8 and 10, if you're familiar with the standards, with the workforce and the research. So we were really looking at this and saying, well, you know what? Public health is a system. It's not an agency. How do you do accreditation for a system? An agency can seek accreditation, but this public health is truly a system of agencies and responsibilities. And if and when we do get that certificate, who's going to hang it on their wall? Does it belong to me or does it belong to any of these other organizations? We don't know. So we called AASHTO and said, we need some help figuring this out because we don't know if this is right for us, but we think it's a good idea. So AASHTO came to the rescue. Kind of like that little cartoon that you see, you know, gobbledygook over here and gobbledygook over here, you know, then a miracle happened. That was AASHTO. They came and they said, okay, well, we'll help you figure this out. And Jim and his good buddies led we first held a stakeholders meeting, brought in those other organizations that you saw in the little floating bubbles there. And we tried to explain to them why this is a good idea and why we think they should be involved. We had teleconferences, we had wonderful expert advice from Jim Pearsall and Jim Butler, and they brought in some cohorts from Washington and Florida who helped us, you know, with some tools and helped us try to figure out what it is we're doing and should we be thinking this way. They finally came up and did a site visit. Jim came up, brought all of us in together. We sat down with these tools, line by line, and went through them and said, all right, what do we have? How good are we at it? And what do we have left to do? And I'll show you a couple examples of those. And then we sat down and made a plan for how we're going to move forward. So this was the, what I call the assignment of standards tool. We went through every single darn standard in those FAB state standards and said, all right, can we do these things? Are we responsible for these things? And we went through, and all these little columns at the top here, most of those are the agencies that are within our state public health. And then we have the others. We said, okay, well, a lot of these things we can do, but a lot of things depend on somebody else. So we're going to have to get a heck of a lot of buy-in from them and support from them in order to do this. And then we did the state assessment tool. Said, okay, of those things that we can do, how well are we doing them? And we went, again, line by line through the darn thing, and we found that, you know, a lot of it we're doing, and we're doing pretty well, but we're not documenting. So that's something that we're really going to have to focus on is our documentation. As we have policies, we have procedures, we have processes, we're just not very well documented at it. We know what we're doing. Nobody else can really see it, though. So what's our next step? Well, we're talking to our leadership, and quite honestly, our leadership right now is saying, sure, go for it, you guys. Do whatever you want. You're not going to get any more money or people or time for it. But if this is something that's, you know, going to help you do what you do better, by all means, go right ahead. So it's very much a bottom-up process. You know, the workers, the staff, we know it's important to do. We know that it's something that should be done. The leadership is saying, yeah, whatever. So that's kind of the easy part. You know, as long as they're not against us, then they're for us. That's all right. But then there's that state health assessment. That's going to be a biggie. We have been doing the MAP process in communities. Is that good enough? I don't know. I mean, all of our communities swear that they're 100% unique from each other, too. So if we have to have a state assessment, can we mush all of those individual community assessments into a state assessment? Gosh, who knows? We need a state health improvement plan. We've got Healthy Alaskans 2010. Is that good enough? No. Can we do 2020? I'd like to. I was just in a meeting last week with our leadership and said, all right, folks, are we going to do 2020 or not? They said, oh, yeah, this is important. We really need to do this. I see, I've been hearing this for a year and a half. Nobody's given us any money for it. Oh, yeah, we don't have any of that. It's okay. So not quite sure how we're going to check those two boxes yet. And again, our policies and documentation, you know, this is something we can do. We just have to do it. And then finally, once we get all of those, you know, tiny little things done, then we can apply for accreditation. So we're getting there, slowly, slowly. So we made up our little timeline for moving forward. These are all the things we have to do in order to get there. You can see way down at the bottom, we've got the community assessment and the health improvement plan and the strategic plan. The little stuff. And these are our barriers. Same barriers that everybody else in the world has. We have no money, we have no time, we have no people. But we are going to seek accreditation. We're committed to it. So, and I'll be the one doing it. So that's what I have. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
How much are you doing any direct clinical care in rural areas?
We do not do primary care. We do our public health nursing is a state function in the local communities, and they do the vaccinations, outbreak investigations. Right. Sanitation inspections, that's all under environmental conservation outside our agency. Outside, completely. Yeah. Again, no control over some of these vital things. Nurses are doing immunizations, well baby exams, outbreak investigations.
Oh, they are doing well babies.
They are doing well babies, yep. But they're not setting broken legs, they're not doing band-aids on boo-boos.
Except they're doing baby exams.
They do the exams, but they don't do any treatment. If there are issues found and treatment to be had, then those patients are referred to primary care.
Not to monopolize the time, but why is that your job?
Why is it not our job? Because no one else is doing it.
It's one of the most expensive things you do.
It is, and it has been honestly very strongly looked at. The communities are really, really, really not wanting us to do away with that, but it's one of the things along with some planned pregnancy prevention, that kind of thing, that we do that might end up on the chopping block. But we really think it's such a strong public health prevention piece. You know, if we can get to those babies and do those well baby exams, you know, then maybe they won't need so many of our other services later.
But
it is. I know. Yeah, there are a lot of things we do that we might not be. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you very much.